Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. This is the Synergy Connection Show, and we're welcoming back as a returning guest, Kristen Gieselin, who is a work-life coach who focuses on mindfulness. She's also an intuitive who is available for coaching and readings. Additionally, she is a certified theta healer, which means that she can shift subconscious patterns of thought. Welcome, Kristen.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks for having me back.
Are so very welcome. I do want to take a couple of seconds here just to explain that those who were listening on December the 27th heard me say that Trey Malico would be my guest today. And this is the first day of an hour-long show, and we'll be doing hour-long shows going forward. But Trey had an unfortunate situation with his partner who is in the hospital at this point. And so we want to send out some loving thoughts to Trey and his partner in the hopes that things will be improving soon in their lives. And Kristen was a godsend. And, you know, I called her and asked her if she could possibly do the show today with me. And she was very gracious to say yes. So I appreciate her immensely. For our first show, we're going to be talking about recognizing your own personal divinity. And that should perk the interest of, I think, a lot of the listeners, understanding that we all have a divine quality within us. And it's a matter of recognizing it and kind of bringing it forth. So, Kristen, why don't you give a little bit of your background now and help people understand how you've been able to be in touch with your own divinity?
Well, that's... It's, you know, it's always a moment by moment experience, staying tuned in. But I was really lucky as a young person, teenager, and so forth, to have some experiences that opened some of those doors early. I did some yoga. My mom was a kind of forward thinker, and she took me to yoga class with her, and then she brought me to learn transcendental meditation. And this was when I was like, you know, between around 12 or 14.
Can you explain maybe a little bit about what transcendental meditation is? Because I think a lot of people may be familiar with the words, but they really don't know what it is.
Right. Well, you know, I don't have like a huge conceptual framework for it because I was only 12 at that time. But it basically, you went to some classes and we would sit together in a group and we each were given a mantra. And I had a very, very simple mantra. And we were encouraged to just focus our mental attention on that mantra and sit quietly following our breath.
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt you one more second here and explain what a mantra is. Because, again, some people are not going to recognize that word.
Sure, sure. A mantra is a word or a phrase or a sound that is a way to focus your attention. And the word actually means mind protection.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the first mantra, I remember what it was actually. It was M. Okay, that's all it was M. So
just the letter M.
Just M, yeah. Okay. And so clearly the instructor wanted to make it simple for me because I was like, you know,
12 years old.
Yeah, exactly. So smart helper there. And so that was, you know, that was a starting experience. And then my mom took me to a yoga class and we would do all the asanas. And then at the end, you know, when we had the shavasana, we would also do ohms. We would do the ohms. So I was feeling the energetic resonance of the om energy.
And you can actually feel that inside your head. I know that when I've done it, it resonates. And so the sound kind of magnifies and goes back and forth almost between your ears.
Yeah, so that was, it does. And it goes actually throughout your whole body. Yeah, it's pretty powerful. So I had those early experiences, you know, kind of in there. And then in my mid-teen years, and I also started having some intuitive things happening. I started to, I had some dreams that came true and stuff like that. And then I think in high school, I started doing yoga every day after school, which was, you know, very geek nerd, you know, yoga geek nerd, whatever. But I was just drawn to it. And at that time, Lilias Falland was on television. She was the only one doing yoga publicly. And she'd been doing it for years. And she would come on with her hair in a braid and her little leotard on, you know, no fancy workout clothes, way before those days. And I would do yoga with her for like a half an hour. This was like my sophomore year of high school. And that's really when my intuitive thing started opening up, I think, was when I was doing that yoga every day, you know, with Lilias. Yeah, so it was interesting. And then I got really interested in parapsychology because I was having these experiences. So then I tried to, you know, learn a little bit about it. So that was happening. And around that same time, a member of my family went into recovery for alcoholism, and I had the opportunity to get connected with the 12-step, you know, spiritual framework. So it was a great building block for me in terms of an ethical system of behavior. You know, the system that they have in place really does help you focus on what's going on inside you. So I was exposed to that when I was like, you know, 15 years old. I started to get, you know, around that. And I went to Alateen and Al-Anon, and I'm still a grateful member of Al-Anon. So that structure was put in pretty early. And then I also started a few years later when I was around 20, I started to realize that I was thinking about things in the world a lot. And somehow I understood that what should be on my mind was spirituality. That what should be over my head or on my mind shouldn't be things of the world, that I would somehow have a better life if, and what's weird and interesting and strange is that links to some of the practices that we do in Tibetan Buddhism. We actually visualize deities and so forth over our heads. So I don't know whether I was starting to recall a prior lifetime or what happened with me, but I just knew I needed to have spiritual things on my mind. So I sought out a church environment, and I got connected with Unity, the Unity movement, which is, I consider it the original, you know, as close to the original Christianity as we really have available. And it's a very much not a worshiping Jesus practice, but a following Jesus practice, a Jesus as way shower or healer practice. And they really encourage you in that path to develop your own spiritual abilities, your own healing abilities, your own ability to, you know, activate your creative intelligence. They have something called the 12 powers of man, but they're all related to your natural innate spiritual things that you're born with. So that concept that spirituality had a place inside of me, or I was part of spirit or part of, you know, the great mystery, was with me fairly, you know, fairly early.
Now, there is a distinct difference between, because I wanted to bring this up, spirituality and religion. You know, being spiritual and being religious by nature can be very, very different.
Oh, absolutely. There totally is a difference. Luckily, I did not experience that split. In the religious experiences that I was exposed to, they actually felt spiritual for me. So I know for some people, they do have religious experiences that are not particularly spiritual. And luckily, I pretty much avoided that. I just didn't personally have to have that.
Right. So, I mean, there are a number of faiths, you know, I mean, we have so many in the world, and there's a number of them that can be very restrictive.
Yes, yes. I think what my observation is when you, you know, anything that becomes heavily structured and at some point has to support an organizational entity of some kind can be restrictive, and it can lose its life force. It can become like a shell of what its original energy or chi was, you know, over time. And so that's actually, interestingly enough, why I eventually, in my mid-early 20s, after I finished a bachelor's degree in psychology, I was looking for what I was going to study next. And I looked at getting possibly a degree in religious science or you know, traditional academic religions, or going into science of mind or unity or whatever. And right in that those early 20s, I started to connect with Tibetan Buddhism. And because that practice is what they call an extant practice, meaning there are living people who have been receiving teachings back to the time of Padmasambhava, where it's a lineage, where it's passed from teacher to student, teacher to student, I felt that that was probably the path that was better for me, because I first of all, didn't have confidence that I could study all the original languages. I felt like if I went to become a religious scholar, I was going to need to know Aramaic and Sanskrit and all that to get down to the root of what these teachings really had to offer. And I saw this based on, you know, the religious leaders that were also spiritual in my community. The ones that were really thriving were digging deep, you know, into the true meanings of the teachings that had been put out to find the core of the truth. And I thought, gee, you know, that's an awful lot of digging they seem to have to do to get down to the real thing. And I was hoping for a system that was the real thing would be a little more right there for me.
You know, because even when I was in undergraduate classes, I was able to take Old and New Testament as opposed to a history class, which I absolutely adored, and the professor was amazing. And I've never forgotten a lot of the things, and that's been a long time ago. But, you know, kind of going back to some of the core fundamental religions that are around, you know, sometimes they're incredibly punitive, you know, in nature.
Yes.
And so
that is so.
I was always looking for the more loving God.
Absolutely.
As opposed to one that said, oh, if you do this, you're condemned for all eternity.
Yeah, I totally, I'm on with one of the people in the area that I really like. Her slogan is, keep the faith and lose the guilt. Mm-hmm. And also the other person, these are, I'm quoting two people that are in our community who are still Unity people. Another one said when doing a presentation on the 10 commandments, he really thought they should have been the 10 suggestions, because it's not that you were going to go down to the 10th circle of hell if you didn't follow them, but that you wouldn't necessarily refine your life enough to really be able to access your spiritual center quickly if you broke them. So it's not, you know, it's a very different take. Even the word sin, as I understand it, means missing the mark. So although Christianity is not my personal, you know, has not been my personal path, I'm fascinated by all faith traditions. And I suck up every bit of, you know, wisdom, no matter what faith tradition it comes from, or you know, indigenous practices, wherever I feel something that resonates and feels true, it sort of locks into my ears because I'm just interested. So it just stays in there.
Well, and the reality, as I at least see it, is that there are so many partial truths out there, and that when we begin to pull them all together, because I refer to, you know, the Synergy Connection show as a braiding of truths. So we have a spiritual truth, a mental, a physical, and an emotional truth. And when we braid it together, whether it's coming from religious understandings or whether it's coming from health understandings or what makes us emotionally who we are, when we begin to weave that together, we end up with an incredibly strong, you know, foundation. For lack of a better word.
Yes, absolutely. You know, there's some truth in most sayings, even folk wisdom, you know, has a nugget of truth. There may be part of it that's gotten a little fuzzy or off track, but when you dig for that nugget of truth, you usually can recognize it. I know within myself, when I hear something that resonates as it has a certain resonance for me, when I hear something that feels true at large or true for myself.
I know when we were talking before the show started about some different things, you know, you have the same sensation I do, that you get a psychic chill where the hair on your arms, and for those that are listening, some of you will recognize this too, that when you say something that is true and your soul knows it's true, then you get that confirmation. And it's kind of a sensation that we can get, and we'll have a chill, or a lot of people, literally, the hair on the arms will stand straight up. And that's that confirmation of saying, hey, you're on the right track. You know, keep going down that road.
Yeah, I, you know, as an empath and having the gift of some clairs, which I know you do as well, it can come in a lot of different ways for me. Sometimes the chakra above my head will activate and I'll actually be sensing it, my crown chakra, or the chakras above sometimes, or the back of my head, or I'll feel a sensation in my heart center. So tuning into those, that we have a very, it's, you know, I've been referring to it lately as spidey sense.
That's cute.
You know, we have a lot of these spidey senses, and these spidey senses are generally pretty accurate. So it's really, and you were sharing also in your traveling, you were hearing some clear guidance about how to make your travels work effectively.
Right.
And, you know, it's, where is this coming from? Well, I think there's like a energetic neuro net that goes around all of us that we are part of. And when we are calm and we have cleared out some of the obscurations, you know, negative emotions and things like that, we are able to tune in to this network of information.
Right.
And
I have no idea. I mean, I did share this with you, and I think our listeners might find this sort of fascinating. But I was at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. And I'll just give one example rather than all of them. But the one example that blew me away was we were getting told, you know, that there were not pilots, there were not flight attendants. You know, we didn't have the support because on December 26th, they had a huge electrical storm that went through Dallas. And so people had missed their flights. It was like a huge city when I arrived with the number of individuals that were there. And I ended up missing my flight back into Tampa. And so we were given, you know, backup boarding passes, basically. But they were, I keep drawing a blank on the name.
Standby.
Standby passes. And I think I was initially I was number like 62. And I knew that I wasn't going to be getting on, you know, a flight if I was number 62 as a standby. There just weren't going to be that many available seats with all the people that needed to still be processed from the 26th. And so what was fascinating to me is as I stood in line, I got very, very clear into the fact that I really wanted to get back to Tampa. And I just, you know, went into that mindful breathing that you can do. And so when it was my turn, I was number three in line because I had not left once I missed that flight. I did not leave. And as I approached the desk, the lady that was there, I just looked at her and we locked eyes. And I said, I really need to get home. And she said, don't move. Now, the two people in front of me had received standby boarding passes. And she came back and she gave me a confirmed seat. And it totally blew me away because I know that either my guardian angel went to work instantly through her to provide that for me or something, but there was some reason I needed to be on that plane, you know, getting back into Tampa. And there were people at the gate that did not have seats. They were still on standby as I left. So that was just an incredible way of explaining in my mind that when you are totally in alignment, you know, that those kind of things can happen, that you can create a reality that gets you where you want to go.
Right. And I see that the universe has, I believe that there's something called, I refer to it as infinite intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is, you know, comes from some of that background that I have in the unity universe. But I like it because I feel that the universe is tuned into your intention. Universe is aware of how you're allocating your time and resources to support the well-being of others. And so as you do that, the universe supports you. That's how I see it. You know, and that power is remarkable. I mean, if you've ever looked down at the concrete and seen a little green sprig
Yep.
coming up through, you're like, dang, that little sprig was so wily and smart and powerful that it got all the way through that concrete and it's now growing. That's how powerful that little life force is. And so I feel like that's just all around us. And when we connect to it, we get the advantages. We get certain we get certain preferential treatment. Now, I do think we have to live in accord with each other and follow some of those guidelines to get that preference, because it's the universe wants to support what's, to me, what's best for everyone.
And I have seen pictures, I mean, I'm sure others have seen it on Facebook maybe, but of a tree growing out of a rock.
Exactly.
You know, and it's a fairly substantial little tree.
Mm-hmm.
But where is it getting its nourishment? You know, that's just crazy because there's not soil, but it's breaking it down, you know, and getting magnesium and calcium and manganese and whatever else, you know, from the rock that
yeah.
it's in. And then if you drive along, especially here in the Tampa area, if you go along any of the highways, there will be plants that have, you know, fallen into the crevices of the overpasses, and they're growing. They're just flourishing, and I'm always just amazed.
Right, and that same seed is inside all of us. Mm-hmm. That life force, that chi, is inside of us. And before the show, I was talking to a friend of mine about, you know, what is this divinity. You know, some people might refer to it as chi or their higher self or the awakened mind. There's a lot of different, you know, words or terms that could be applied to this something. What I've noticed is that when I connect with people, which I've connected with a lot of people over the course of my 30 years in human services and education, etc., people understand these things instinctively and naturally. And you don't have to be like a scholar or anything like that. You just have to pay attention to how you're feeling when you have an experience and pay attention to that. That's it. It's, you know,
awareness.
Yeah, awareness. So, you know, even with clairvoyant or extrasensory things, you know, they've become a little more commonplace to talk about and discuss. And, you know, it seems like there's an intuitive explosion right now. But if you go back even 15 or 20 years, people were not as willing to necessarily talk about or share about paranormal type of experiences.
Well, if you did, you know, you could easily be labeled crazy.
Right.
Or hearing voices, or, you know, because I've heard things most of my life. And so that just kind of made me unique, but I knew that it was okay.
Right. Well, so good for you that you had a sense that it was an okay thing, because some people are made to feel that it's not okay.
Exactly.
And yes, indeed, there are some people who hear voices where it is not okay. That's also reality.
Right.
You know, you being a trained therapist and licensed, you know that. And I worked in and around that field, so I understand that also. But this is something different. This is not the same thing as that.
Right. No, it's not.
Yeah.
and it's kind of learning to be quiet enough to hear it. Because most of us have, it's not necessarily a voice in your head that's telling you stuff, but we have so much stuff going on constantly. Remember to go to the store, remember to pick up the cleaning, remember to get gas, remember, you know, so we're constantly making a list of to-dos for ourselves in our head. And that's what we're listening to most of the time. Or if somebody's talking to us, we can still be doing that and not paying attention to what they're really saying. So learning that whole mindful approach of being present now for whatever is going on, it's a skill. It's something that I'm actually learning to do much, much better than I've ever had to do it in the past, because I've been one of those individuals who had difficulty being in the moment. I preferred to be thinking way ahead. And I'm having to learn to sort of stop and say, you know, this is a good place to be right here, right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. It, you know, what I started to think about with regard to that is if I'm someplace else, I might be missing something that's going on right now.
Right.
That's a wonderful thing. So if I find myself running down the street to some other time or place, or sometimes we do it if we're in a spot that feels uncomfortable. we might say, oh, I just can't wait till this is over, you know? And somehow I got messages from somebody that said, don't ever wish any part of your life away. Don't do that. And somehow I heard that early and put that in there and said, oh, don't do that. So there's always, you know, it's sort of like a serendipity courting opportunity. Mm-hmm. Even if you're going through a hard part, like especially if I am going through a time that feels challenging, I will ask spirit, infinite intelligence to show me the magic, show me something beautiful so that I don't forget about that. So I don't disconnect completely, even if I am in a phase where there's a lot of difficult emotions or energy transitions that are difficult. But I wanted to go back to the idea that almost everybody I've ever talked to, this was before I came out as an intuitive. I was on the down low working in the regular, you know, business, you know, environment. But whenever I would end up with that conversation, almost everybody I had ever met in my life said, oh, well, yeah, there was that one time after Aunt Mary died and she came and visited me on the bed and I only told a few people. Almost every single person that the conversation ever came up with, people have had experiences that are beyond what they can see and feel and touch with their regular five senses here. Right. Most people have had something sometime. So that just tells you, to me, it's a confirmer that there's a whole lot of things going on that are beyond what we see, you know, with the five senses or experience with the five senses. Right. And so anyway, I just wanted to make the point that, you know, it's not that weird if you have had anything like that. Most people, I think, have, you know, that I've had the conversation with. And then it's just sort of, to me, reconfirms that we are connected beyond the ways that we normally might conceptualize. Right. And so that encourages us, hopefully, to cultivate the mindfulness and the quietness that you're talking about, because there's an opportunity there to have an expanded experience of our connection to all things. And through our divinity, through connecting with our higher selves, with our life force, our chi force, that is beyond our identity, our name, how we look, you know, what we do, what our profession is, all that stuff. This is very limited. This is all this little time space continuum that we have manifested in, which is beautiful and expressive and lovely. But at the same time, that other part of us that is beyond time and space, to start to build a relationship with that part, I feel is a sustaining way through ups and downs to remember that whatever's happening in the moment, whether it be positive and fantastic or a bummer, is temporary. You know, all of those things are just manifestations of creative energy that are going to arrive. You know, they're coming and they're going. They're coming and they're going. But there's something else that we're connected to that is not affiliated with this time-space continuum.
Right. And I'm going to bring up something here that I have shared on other shows, but I think it's important to maybe bring it back in at this point. I've done Reiki on you.
Yes, you have.
You have experienced the energy that comes through me.
Yes, I have.
And most people, when they've experienced it from somebody who has a lot of energy, which I do, you know, they report that it, I've had people say they're floating. They have a tingling sensation, you know, that moves throughout their body. I had a gentleman I was working on who has some serious neck injuries, and both of his legs absolutely were quivering, and he didn't understand what was happening, and it was just the electrical current coming from me into him, stimulating, you know, the whole circuitry of his lower body, where he was having some issues. But what I had shared in the past was when my husband was alive, and this is now probably 4.5, 5 years ago that this happened, but he was in intensive care, and he had an hour and a half, literally the doctors, the cardiologist told me that he had an hour and a half to live. He had what's called pericardial effusion, which is fluid around the heart. So he had 150 cc's that were crushing his heart, and his oxygen level was at 78%. And they cannot do surgery if your oxygen level is there. And it's not a matter of giving oxygen. That's not the issue. It's that it has to be infused throughout your body in order to do surgery. So they left me with him, knowing that he was going to be gone in about an hour and a half. When you talk about energy and being in touch, at that moment, what I very clearly understood was I was to place my right hand on the top of his head, my left hand on his heart. And within 30 seconds, the monitor showed that his oxygen went from 78% to 98%, which was when they could do surgery. And the doctors literally came running down the hall and they said, "What are you doing?" And I'm sure they thought I had given him something. And I kept standing there and I said, "I'm simply doing Reiki." And they said, "Well, we don't know what that is, but keep doing it because now we can do surgery." And he did live another 3.5 years. Now, that is the kind of divine energy that can move through you to heal, because yes, I am a healer, but at the same time, that was a divine intervention that had nothing to do with me. I believe to this day that I was simply a conduit, a vehicle of healing.
Yes, exactly. And I think if you have, you know, I know this story because you've shared it with me. And I'll just talk quickly about my experience of when you Reiki my body in the past, I could see like energy flows inside that had colors associated with them. So that was new for me. I hadn't seen that before. This was before I took the Intuitive Anatomy Theta Healing class, you
oh,
know?
Really?
Yeah, it was
okay.
A bit before that. I've seen more things now. But the Theta Healing is in the same vein. I am not really shifting the belief. You're shifting the belief. Are you know, you and your higher self. I'm just there as a helper. You know, I'm just a conduit, a facilitator, an assistant. And, you know, the energy is just ever present. And it's just some of us are able to connect with it in a way that does assist healing or, you know, mental shifts for other people. And it's a beautiful thing and it's exciting. And I think it's healing both for me when I experience it, when I'm a channel, you know, or when I'm a conduit or assistant facilitator, whatever word you'd like to use. It renews my sense of connection with everything, all the great mystery. And I feel like I'm on purpose too. I know for me, when I'm doing that kind of helping, I feel energetically correct. I feel aligned. And then when the other person experiences, like in your case, you saved your husband's life. And I'm sure that those years that you had with him were important years for the resolution of whatever your karmic story was with your husband. And so that's why that happened, so that you would be able to complete, you know, whatever... you know, sort of lessons or understandings that were needed for him to be able to move on, you know, into a new life experience when the time came, and for you to allow that. So I know that was, you know, you did what was meant in that moment. You know, you were guided and you responded, and how cool that it happened in such a way that the doctors actually were present to observe.
Yes.
That something actually happened in the body. In other countries, I understand they there's a lot more Reiki and Theta healing in the hospitals.
Yes.
That doctors are actually even learning Theta healing. So it's just, you know,
they're using, actually, I found this out a couple of years ago, but they are using a lot of Reiki masters in surgery up by the head, sending energy in. And what they're finding is that the patient, regardless of the surgery that they're having, they heal 25% faster.
Wow.
With that healing energy already working during the surgery.
Right.
So they bleed less, they have fewer complications. And wouldn't you think maybe that insurance companies might go, aha, you know, maybe there's a message here that we can reduce our cost by using energetic healing along with surgical techniques.
And I'm sure it will happen. I'm sure it will as soon as the key person gets in the key position who understands this and realizes that could be cost and life-saving, it will be done.
Right.
I mean, years ago, I had an insurance plan, and it was focused, I won't say the name of the business, but it was focused on staying healthy. Okay. But they didn't offer like acupuncture, which I thought was the silliest thing in the world. Like, I thought if your thing is focused on staying healthy, you should be offering acupuncture and paying for it. So I lobbied for that. Now, while I had that particular plan, I didn't get the benefit of it. But years later, I found out, oh yeah, they're covering acupuncture now.
Right. And so they cover massage therapy in many plans. They cover chiropractic now.
Right.
And it used to be that
none of that was. So it just takes, you know, it takes the institutions longer to catch up to where everybody else is. But eventually, chances are they'll get there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. So there's a lot of different things that we can still talk about for the remaining time. Learning to forgive. How does that kind of get you in touch with your own divinity and the divinity of others? You know, what happens when we hold on to anger, resentment, those kinds of feelings that are probably very damaging, but certainly they're not going to allow us to connect as easily to somebody.
Yeah, those feelings, you know, when you look at them in the Tibetan thing, they cloud your vision. Mm-hmm. They cause, it actually causes energetic trouble in your, you know, system and your vision. The way you perceive. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Causes trouble. Yeah, in the energy of the body, it causes trouble. And there's a specific name for them and all that business. So first of all, you know, everybody has negative emotions. And all emotions serve a purpose. It's not that they're inherently bad. It's not about judging these emotions. We're not going to do that. We're not judging these emotions. We are saying, oh, wow, if anger is coming up or resentment is there was a reason for that at the time.
Right.
The question becomes, once it is in, you know, once you're experiencing it, are you going to ride the train down the track or are you going to let the train go on by?
Right.
So we,
yeah, I don't need that one.
Exactly. And so, you know, this is like another opportunity for mindfulness. I myself recently have had some interactions that have just really kicked my, you know what, and I'm really struggling, with how to create resolution for myself to be able to let go or forgive or process them. And I'm going to have to maybe take some action and have some conversations. I need more understanding. And I'm feeling led now that there does need to be some conversations. That those conversations will be both beneficial to me and the other people involved. So it's about how do I take care of those feelings, you know? And sometimes we have to do a process before we can just, oh, I forgive.
Right.
Now, sometimes we're not in a position where we can do a process. You know, it could be someone who's passed on. It could be somebody who's not in our life anymore. So in that case, you know, there's a lot of different techniques. I know actually in the Bible, it says to forgive 70 times seven. What does that really mean? It means to forgive until whatever it is cleared up. And I have actually written out in the past, in the early days, I actually wrote out, I forgive so-and-so for blah, blah, blah. I forgive so-and-so for blah, blah, blah. Pages and pages and pages of it. Because I really had some things from my growing up years that could have been long-term obstacles. But I was like, nope, I'm clearing that business out. I'm going to get that out of there and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And this is one technique that I've been shown. There's, you know, so many different techniques. I know you have the Ho'oponopono, how do you say it?
Ho'oponopono.
Yeah, Ho'oponopono technique, yeah. You know, and that's become almost like so culturally relevant. A lot of people know about this technique.
Right.
And it's beautiful. It's completely possible to shift the energy, you know, between you and another person without ever speaking with them at all.
Exactly.
You can just do it completely in an energetic way.
Right.
And in fact, you know, in our daily practice, whatever that may be, when we're having our mindfulness time, there's an opportunity to clear, to do a general clearing you know, to do a general, I forgive everyone, opportunity so that you're not going forward. In the Tibetan Buddhist practice, we do prostrations, which has not to do with like worshiping a human. It has to do with honoring our own higher self, our own wisdom. But what we do is we imagine our enemies ahead of us. Uh-huh. If we have someone who is driving us crazy or irritating us, right, they get to realization before we do.
Right.
I'm saying, okay. Or in the 12 steps, they say, pray for the other person and change me.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. And then I've also heard, this was back in the Edwin Gaines days, I used to follow her, and she would say, you can use the light for others, but only the knife can only be used on yourself. So when there's something that's not nice, you can cut it off yourself, but you can't use the knife on others, only the light for others.
You know, that's similar to cord cutting too. Mm-hmm. You know, when you recognize that you're holding on to something and you can go into that meditative place where you envision who they are, and then you pick whatever instrument you want to use for cutting that attached cord. Because that's what's holding you back, is you're attached to that individual with a cord. And I know when I did it years ago, some people had swords that they used. Some people had shears. Some people had little tiny, you know, like embroidery scissors. Mine was the most beautiful pair of scissors, but it was, you know, highly decorative. And it was... I was able to actually, you know, move in and cut that cord and watch it move away. So, and then Thich Nhat Hanh, who I talked about last week, you and I talked about this a little bit, but he uses a method of just being present. So it can heal countries, it can heal nations, you know, it can heal individuals, obviously. But acknowledging that you are there for that person, that you're there, that you see them, and you know, they are present in your mind as well as your vision. And then understanding that you may have been the actual person that hurt them. But if you give them space and don't try to, you know, find solutions, just acknowledge that you can be safe with me. You can say whatever you need to say, and I'm going to hold that sacred space for you. And if I'm the one that caused the pain, then please help me understand. You know, and that allows that dialogue to take place. So if the person is deceased and you still have some issues going on, you might do cord cutting, but you might also be able to have that conversation with them as you imagine them, you know, in front of you. Because I think spiritually they can be present. You can bring them into your space and allow that conversation to take place.
Oh, that's completely true. I had some things like when my dad passed away, because we were not able to be together at the time of his passing. And it took a long time before all of that was processed out. But he was talking to me. He was coming into my dreams, and I was getting messages from other people. Other psychics were giving me messages. And then one day after I left the center, you know, I had done the Buddhist practice, and that's, you know, there was a lot of purification in that and aspirations for compassion. And, you know, there's a lot of different levels in that practice. I was driving back across Tampa Bay, and I felt like it was all clear. You know, whatever had been unprocessed emotionally, it just felt clear.
It was clear.
Yeah. And I felt a relief, a peace, you know, that was tremendous. So definitely, just because somebody is not in this form, it doesn't mean you can't work something out with that person or in the same exact physical space with you. And in fact, one of the things that, you know, is useful to me, if I'm concerned or stressed or worried about someone, you know, imagining giving them to spirit, just offering them to spirit and knowing that this infinite intelligence, this huge energetic field of love and compassion is surrounding them. And that's it. Just leave it like that. Don't allow thoughts of worry and stress and concern over there, because I think then I'm connecting to the thing that I don't want to see out picture. I'm feeding into it energetically. So it's better for me and for that person to just hold them in a field of light and safety.
How do you learn to see goodness in others? Because there are some people, you know, again, going back to this whole trying to connect to your own divinity means being able to see that even though that person may not be doing exactly what we would like for them to do, or we're having issues with them, allowing them to just be who they are, and maybe they're in that angry state, so it's very difficult for you. But allowing them to be who they are and seeing the goodness that is still there, even though it may not be that visible at that moment.
Right. You know, sometimes that can be a really big practice. The first thing is, what is my presupposition about the nature of human beings? You know, I have an underlying belief system that says the realized mind already exists in everyone. It's already there. Okay. And so that helps me right away, you know, just my basic way that I configure, you know, the way I think, my belief. And then, you know, there's just obscurations. There's just yucky stuff on top of that person. They're good underneath there. There's an enlightened being. It's just, there's these karmic obstacles that are showing up and manifesting. And, I think because of my professional life, when I met people, there was usually a purposefulness to the interaction of some kind. There was some goal for that person, or, I was often looking for their strengths. I was trained, you know, professionally to look for people's strengths, and that always resonated for me. That's part of why I ended up with the Master's in Human Resource Development instead of a clinical master's degree, because I didn't want to go with the, you have an illness diagnosis plan. I just instinctively, from the very beginning, that did not resonate for me. I thought, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I want people to know what they have to offer the world, what their gifts are, and how to get them out into the world. Mm-hmm. That just was like a common sense for me. Yeah. So
You've seen the DSM. Right.
Well, you know, not too intimately, okay, because I avoided it. All right. And I'll be honest, you know, part of that is because of my own experience. Mm-hmm. When my parents split, when I was 5 years old and I was not a happy camper, they put me in therapy. And I thought, well, wait a minute, you guys are the crazy ones. I'm not the one that, you know, did all these crazy things. And so right from the beginning, I think I was trying to carve creativity and productivity and light in my life. And so then when it became time for me to choose a professional track, you know, I did the undergraduate degree in psychology, and then I was really interested in what they call transpersonal psychology, which is where spirituality comes into it, because I had had all these, you know, paranormal experiences and been exposed to the value of spiritual, living a spiritual lifestyle. So I just was like, wait a minute, I'm not thinking that this way that we have Western psychology set up is going to be that good for people. You know, I'm not seeing how this is going to really work.
Right.
So I just took a different path. I knew that from my own experience up to that point, when I was doing something meaningful with myself, when I was contributing to the well-being of others, when I was participating in some form of positive creative expression, I felt remarkably better no matter what was going on.
Yeah.
Okay, no matter what kind of crazy town was going on around me, I'm like, that's okay, because I'm connected to spirit, because I'm doing something that infinite intelligence is recognizing as a good thing, and I recognize it as a good thing. So that's kind of why I took that other path.
Did you begin to recognize that because of your Buddhist training, maybe because you knew how to go within and hear?
You know, I think it was even before that, you know, or maybe from prior lifetime. Maybe it was, you know, it's hard to say how much of the way you perceive reality came from prior lifetimes. I have no idea.
Right.
But I think it was with me before that even. I don't know why. I can't tell you why.
But you knew that there was something more.
Well, I also just, My family did a lot of creative things, and they were go-getters. You know, they were entrepreneurs and they were creative. And I guess I saw the value that that gave to their lives and to my life. So then I started to think, well, other people will be better off, no matter what their things are, if they can engage in creative, meaningful activity. And so then I started to identify, I had a gift for what people were good at. I could meet somebody and talk to them for like, you know, 10 minutes and go, oh, they're good at art, or oh, they like blah, 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 or oh, they're mathy, or they're whatever. And it would just fly in. I wasn't even trying to get it. And maybe this was my intuition back then before I even knew what it was. Okay, intuition was just telling me stuff about people. And then that's the basis on which I would begin to work with them. Okay, so in my professional life, I think this came very easily. Now, where the rub is and where the challenge is maybe in my most intimate personal relationships, the ones that bring up my stuff.
Right.
Then to be able to say, okay, what am I going to focus on in my interactions with this person?
Right.
We know there's good and bad in everyone. Okay, we know that. But where is my focus going to be?
Right, because where you focus is what you get.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, where your focus goes, your energy flows.
Absolutely.
That was one of those tidbits I picked up along the way.
Right.
And, you know, I was just, when I was thinking about how have I stayed connected and grown my relationship with understanding divinity, you know, there was a lot of pain in my early life. And there was also a big just curiosity quotient about how people's minds work and how the universe works. So I had both a push away from and a pull toward that was driving my motivation. And I've been to zillions of Growth and Girl for Fun and Profit workshops. I mean, every time there was an opportunity to learn something, I took it. And lots of training in my professional life. And then I started teaching things. You know, I've done literally thousands of workshops for other people on conflict resolution or relationships. I used to do, you know, five, sometimes four or five presentations a day in the public schools on things for young people, or, you know, so I've just like steeped myself, you know, like a little tea bag, you know, in opportunities to activate as much as I could. And, you know, and then the long-term things in terms of the retreats and all that.
Right.
So, and now really it's not so much about, you know, I don't really think in terms of good and bad very much at all. You know, I think in terms of what is healthy, what is beautiful, what is contributory.
Well,
you know,
I think your awareness level changes. You know, once you move into this kind of thinking, if you will,
yeah,
then your awareness, whether it's a tree or an animal or a flower or water, or I mean, there are moments within the last year where I have seen things that I've never seen before. And I think it's strictly mostly because I've learned a lot about being in the moment,
mm-hmm.
but also just getting into that alignment.
Yes.
You know, that
your vision is clearer. Your vision, so you have like your vision, your actual perceptive abilities in your eyes and in your being is more refined at
right.
this time.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you begin to see that energy is everywhere and that we can move in and out of it. And so a tree's energy is different than a plant, you know, that's growing out of a pot. That's different than the cat or dog that might be in your lap. And that's different than the person's hand that you're holding. And it's just beginning to feel, you know, that energetic flow. And all of a sudden you go, wow, this is so dynamic. And it's alive. It's every place around us. And we can be a part of it or not. You know, the choice is ours.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, we are part of it. It just, you know, the more, I think we enjoy it all more when our awareness is higher. We are able to make better discerning choices
right.
about where our energy goes and where we share our energy and what energy we allow in, you
well,
know.
Here's the kind of interesting part that I'm discovering, at least, is when you're in this space, you know, with the energetic flow that can take place, all of a sudden, it's almost as though the universe itself gives you presence when you're least expecting it. And so you'll encounter a double rainbow that, very few people see. Or you will see, a green flash at sunset. Again, very few people see. Or you have a woman at an airport look at you and go, "Don't move," and she gives you a confirmed seat on an airplane. It's just totally mind-boggling what can begin to happen when you get into that space. And it's just recognizing that we all have energy and it all is linked to the divine, and it's the divine part of you that can allow, that little tree to grow on a rock, or a deer to come around a corner and lock eyes with you. I mean, it is utterly amazing what can happen.
Oh, absolutely. There's a whole lot of magic in the universe. I also think it's important though, like if you're in a phase where you're getting a lot of obstacles, to be careful not to self-blame or to criticize yourself or whatever, to just say, okay, these are obstacles, and be patient and loving and kind with yourself, because there are phases in people's lives where there's a lot of them. And I know some really beautiful people who are meeting up, there's a lot of obstacles. So they're going to be processing and learning through those obstacles.
But the question you might help them look at is, are they embracing them or are they fighting them? Because when we embrace them, the lesson is there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, that's a greater or lesser extent. And then also, just on my side of the street, in terms of bringing more kindness to the world, when I encounter people that are having obstacles, I'm going to do what I can in this moment to offer them some loving kindness. I might not be able to have a long-term impact on their situation, but I can give them a cup of tea.
A
I can
smile.
give them a smile. I can say, have a happy new year. I
Or,
can.
a lot of people are just looking at them and saying, "You look like you need a hug,"
Right.
and then giving them a hug.
Right, if it's somebody that you're in that kind of connection to, absolutely. So, any of those, there's so many opportunities. Like I think one of the things was to just share, if you are full, if you do feel that you're connecting with spirit, to be able to share that with others, like we are today. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity, to say, hey, kind of get on board. There's some really wonderful living to be done. And there are strategies and techniques and approaches that will make it easier for you to live more wonderfully.
I think that's really true. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming in and pitch hitting here, because I couldn't have done an hour-long show by myself. I could have, but I didn't have enough time to prepare. So I love the fact that you were willing to just be spontaneous and come on over and help. And again, we want to send a lot of prayerful thoughts, to Trey and his partner. And I do hope that things improve for both of them. Next week, I'm hoping to have a special guest join us. Her name is Tess Dalka. And Tess has 20 years of experience in the healing arts. She utilizes astrological insights and what she calls open channeling to provide a medium to actually reach your higher loving light guides. And we all have guides. Some people call them guardian angels. Some people call them maybe by a different name. But I think we all do have guides that help us through life. So I'm hoping that she will be able to join us. I think that's a strong possibility, but I'm having to move a few people around, so I'm going to confirm that with her later this afternoon. And if you have getting healthy as one of your 2019 goals, and again, with this show, it's health on an emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual basis. But if you want to get healthy on that physical basis, do check out the health blog tab that is at my website. So that's synergyconnectionradio.com. There's a company there, it's called Boomers Forever Young, but they do have some very amazing products. I happen to use some of them myself. So check them out. If you do use the promo code Lucy, I've made arrangements with them for you to get $5 off of your purchase And so that would be of some benefit to you. So other than that, have an awesome remainder of your week. And I hope that you do truly make this your best life. Thank you so much for joining me today. And again, thank you so much, Kristen, for being my guest.
My pleasure.